foundations of amateur radio. When you start on the journey of putting together a shack, in whatever form that eventually takes, you'll need to figure out how much space is required. Of course, no matter what you choose, it's never enough, but you have to start somewhere. Ultimately, a shack is a work in progress. As an aside, I'm using the word shack, but that is really an amateur concept. So we're not necessarily talking about a plot of land with a wooden lean-to cobbled together from bits of wood collected from your beachcomber days. Not that it can't be that, but it doesn't have to be. As I've said, my shack is a wooden trestle table. I know shacks that are a dedicated room in a house, a converted garage, a garden shed, a warehouse office, a radio station, an outbuilding, several scout halls, demountables, a converted passenger bus, and plenty more. In this context, in referring to shack, I mean the place where my radio lives when I get on air to make noise. But shack runs off the tongue a little easier. Budget aside, in order to attempt to quantify your space requirements, you need to figure out what you're going to do with it. This perhaps sounds a little ludicrous, since the answer is amateur radio. Duh, obviously. Okay, so here's some questions. Does amateur radio for you mean any of the following? Operating the local repeater, HF radio, solo or with visitors, listening to multiple stations, operating multiple bands simultaneously, computers, Morse code, contesting, soldering, building, experimentation, and plenty more. While we're at it, if you're into soldering, is that with valves, discrete components, or integrated circuits? And what levels of existing bits and pieces do you have? I'm asking because the racks of jars, component trays, and drawers I've seen over the past 15 years often rival the actual shack for size. In other words, when you're thinking about what you want to do, be specific. For me, amateur radio is more about computers and less about soldering irons. That's not to say that I don't own a soldering iron, just that its use is incidental rather than fundamental. Computers, keyboards, and monitors, on the other hand, for me, are part and parcel of my amateur radio experience. Truth be told, if I could, I'd try to eliminate all the analog radios from my shack and replace them with a single box capable of wideband operation across the amateur bands that I could control with a computer. I realise that this is not a universal picture of what amateur radio means, but it's what it means for me, because it represents the ultimate level of flexibility. That said, I love my FT-857D. I have several other radios that I loan out from time to time to new amateurs, while they find their feet. I love to experiment with those as well, so my shack needs space for temporary setups. While I enjoy chewing the fat over a cup of coffee, I rarely get on air and make noise with anyone else. That's not because I don't appreciate it, but because I've yet to discover an effective way of filtering interference, a topic for another day. Even if you're not a computer nerd like me, there's a high probability that a shack today includes a computer of some description, for record keeping, propagation forecasts, logging, and digital modes. So it's a good idea to imagine yourself actually doing your planned activities and speculating what kinds of things you'll need. Like, where do you put your cup of coffee, your keyboard, and your Morse key? While we're discussing putting things down, think about the ability to actually use these things, not just where they live. It's no fun balancing a keyboard and trying to reach over the top to change the operating frequency, or having to strain your neck to look at the logging screen when you've made that elusive contact. So think about the ergonomics of what you're planning. Right now, I have a wire shelving unit sitting on my desk. It's 80 centimetres tall, 90 centimetres wide, and 30 centimetres deep. The two shelves are adjustable in height. Currently, one is at the highest point. The other has enough space to fit a base station radio underneath it, about 13 centimetres from the lowest point. It's not ideal, since it means that the keyboard is in front of it. During the previous iteration, of which there have been several, My monitors were in front of this, and the keyboard was an external one connected to a laptop to the right of the screen, allowing me to have two screens to display information. The idea was that I'd use the computer to control the transceivers using a protocol called CAT. This never happened, so operating was awkward, to say the least, and as a result, hardly used. Instead, the FT-857D sat on top of the bottom shelf, using a sound card to operate on digital modes. A slightly better operating angle, were it not for the monitor that hid it from view. As I said, not ideal. I'm mentioning all this to give you a picture of at least one other shack. But, in my experience, nothing beats going out to see what others have gotten up to. Of course, you can visit shacks online with the proliferation of photographs proud amateurs have shared. But there's a difference between looking at a photo and walking around someone's physical shack. So keep that in mind. Other space considerations are rarely, if ever, talked about. What space is there left for you to make changes to your shack? You might think that your shack won't change once you've built it. Here's a change. Disconnecting the antenna in case of a thunderstorm. Here's another. Plugging in a CAT cable. Setting up an external speaker. Or even buying a new radio. You name it, the shack is never done. So think about the idea of being able to walk behind the radio. If you think that's silly, put the shack on wheels. You'll thank me later. While you're walking behind your equipment, consider coax routing, a topic of its own, but being mindful of the need to actually get the coax from where it enters to your gear and how it relates to any electricity routing required to actually power your gear. One other consideration in relation to space is your chair. How much space does it need? Can you adjust it? Is it on casters or a wooden dining chair? Again, this can be as simple as a dining table, or it can be something more substantial. In my experience, a happier outcome is achieved if you spend some quality time thinking about some of the questions I've proposed. As you might have guessed, there's plenty more to explore. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima, Alpha Bravo.